Old School 105.7, with stories from your favorite artists. This is Backstage Stories with Connie Breeze.
Hello, and welcome to the Backstage Stories podcast. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of your favorite old school bands. I'm your host, Connie Breeze, and you can hear me each weekday from 2 to 7 on Old School 105.7 in Las Vegas. Now, old school music has become the soundtrack to our lives. This podcast is for the lovers of old school who want to know the intimate, behind-the-scenes lives of the artists who created the music, the moments that influenced them to write a particular song, and the ups and downs that they've had in their own lives. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Linda Greiner. Now, Linda was made in Motown. She was discovered, groomed, and produced in that great Motown era. You know, she lived life with Berry Gordy, Smokey Robinson, Diana Ross, and all of the artists that made Motown great. In this episode of Backstage Stories, Linda talks about what it was like to be around with the Rat Pack, being a woman in the times that you stood behind the man, and the movie that she's got in production about her former brother-in-law, Red Fox.
Yes, I do. This is probably one of the best times in my life right now to be able to finally bring Red's legacy into the forefront, because he kept so many of us working. He gave so many of us breaks, and I was fortunate that Jamie Foxx connected with me, and we did an incredible documentary that was featured all month long in December, Jamie Foxx, Foxhole. And at that point, they had no idea that I had been working for 2 years on a script with two phenomenal. I have a friend that's a casting agent in Hollywood, Michael Green, and Sean McBride, the tremendous writers, and we have just completed a script for the movie that's going to be entitled Seeing Red. And of course, being that I've been around Red since I was 18 years old and worked with him on the road for so long, and through sickness, through brokenness, through wealth, through good times, right, through bad times.
Called life, right?
Through life, yes. And he was, you know, when we lost him, a part of me was lost, to be honest with you, because I traveled with him. He made sure I had my band, my conductor, I didn't have to worry about, you know, on the road.
Okay, but let's go back to, how did you end up with Red Fox at such a young age?
That's a long story.
Okay, so let's go
to a short story.
Okay, so, but I want to save that because that's a whole podcast in itself, right?
Yes.
So right now we'll just say that you were very close to Red Fox at a very young age.
Yes.
And that was an open door through show business.
Yes.
So Linda Greiner, and if you want to schmoogle her, you can, because we're going to have many more episodes with Linda and you'll get to know her. She is definitely a legendary singer, which is why she's alluding to orchestra and having everything that she needed, and came from, as I did, the Motown background and legacy. But right now what I want to talk to you about is Seeing Red, because now, well, how did you connect with Jamie Foxx?
I'm blessed. That's one thing. I made a promise to Red that I would record his song. He, you know, he was like kind of mad at because I didn't record it when he wanted me to record it, Christmas Every Day. Gladys Knight, originally, I think she did it, and a few other artists did it, but I had to put my spin on it and get it done for Red, and I finally did that. I was fortunate to get some of the top producers, engineers, Grammy Award people that worked with me. I cannot begin to tell you how fortunate I was, back and forth, recording that song. I got the song recorded. And of course, then I reached out to Jamie. And Jamie, of course, I don't know if you know, but if people realize that, you know, he admits it on our show, on the documentary, that he wrote on the coattails of Red, because that's where he got his name. He, you know, he was like his mentor.
Mm-hmm. And was he his mentor in real
but
life?
Not
or did
in
he
real
just,
life.
He just coveted him and adored him.
Absolutely
and said,
loved him. And that's on my website, as a matter of fact, parts of the documentary.
Okay, give your website then.
Yes, LindaGreinerMusic.com.
Okay.
As I said, Red is ingrained in me because, I mean, I know, I can tell you all his jokes. You know, I can really actually be Lynn Fox. I mean, that's how long I was affiliated with him. And he had a office building in Hollywood. He had my office right next to him. And then we just became family after so many years. So, you know, of course, when I left Motown, I was signed to Columbia Records. And then my producer, who produced Brooke Benton, Dinah Washington, you know, they almost, you know, made me, they were trying to make me the next Dinah Washington. It was a timing thing. And that producer went so far over budget. He actually, Clyde Otis, who is one of the great, he produced all the, as I said, Dinah Washington and Brooke Benton. I mean, who's greater than that? So he actually got fired from Columbia, and I ended up being signed to Mercury Records with Ed Townsend, who, you know, did all the Marvin Gaye and Isley Brothers, everybody. So that was my second stop. Then my third stop, after he left Mercury Records, then I had left and went on to Paramount Pictures signed me as a artist, but also they wanted to develop me as a movie star. So many, many things happened. I had 10 singles, motion picture soundtracks. But I think one of their misses with me was they were promoting me in the white market. I did the first video, you know, Just a Little Lovin' Early in the Morning, which you can, it's on YouTube. You know, they had helicopters filming me in the top at the top of the Capitol building. Beautiful, beautiful video. Gene Weed, who did American Bandstand and all of that good stuff. It was just an incredible time. But they also, I think, like I said, they were promoting me, and because I'm capable of singing, I can do anything from you could say rap now, because the rap stars keep me in the top 10 right now. But yet I do Broadway, I do urban, and I do Buddha Bar. I'm an all-around artist. I'm not your normal artist, just in one genre. Mm-hmm. So every producer would go nuts with me. They go, oh, let's do this, let's do that. So all the albums and singles out there on me are different genres, you know, so it's different. That's all I can say. I don't even know how I can explain it, except that go out there and Google me on the list. And when I left Motown, I changed my name back. My name is Linda Griner. I was born, but I wanted to leave Motown, and I pulled a Prince deal. Like, I changed my last name.
You wanted to be a symbol, but he'd already done that.
Yes. And, you know, there's a whole major story. There's a trailer of my movie, just a little bit of it. The movie's not complete yet, but it's on Linda Griner Music.
Of Seeing Red?
And they do, not of Seeing Red, but Seeing Red and Linda Griner is combined, because it is combined. And you'll see a clip, and of course, they're asking me about Motown. This piece on my site is basically just giving you an idea of what's coming, a coming attraction.
It's like a prequel.
It's a sizzle.
Sizzle.
Yes.
So what is it about your time with Red Fox and everything that transpired that makes it a movie?
It is so much that happened. The writers, we started almost 2 years ago writing this. As you know, it takes a lot of time. When Jamie did Ray, as you recall, you know, Ray Charles, I think it took like 6 years, it takes time to put all this together. And I just got the log lines and the presentation for it yesterday. And the director, and they're all coming into town tomorrow. My other partner was in from New York that does the 60s shows. So the movie people are coming in tomorrow. So that's what I'm excited about, that we got it done. Because it takes so long.
It does. It does take long.
To do anything. And you get depressed. You get sad. Oh, this is never going to happen. And, you know, it's so many things that...
Plus, you know, you have a vision. And you hope that the vision's going to translate. But you're not going to know for 6 years.
Exactly.
And that's what's really hard in our environment is we're used to, like, you know, oh, I'm hungry, I'll go to 7-Eleven, you know? And it's like when you're working on something that you love, and we know of projects that people put their hearts and souls into and they didn't work.
Exactly, exactly. And when you love someone, it's Christmas every day. And Red, I think that song, which I brought you copies, and of course it's all online and it's everywhere. We love Feliz Navidad, which and all that, but that song is going to be around forever.
Now, is this song on your website as well?
That song, yeah, it's okay. On there. And to think that that Red, as crazy as he was, that he, you know, he would write something so romantic and so just, you know, every woman in the world, you know, loved to be told, you know, it's Christmas every day, just being with you. You know, that's the type of person he was, you know, to his loves.
But isn't it how it is, though, that people like Red Fox, they're so deep, but they only show that one side, particularly like on television or in stand-up, that they want you to see?
Exactly.
So is that kind of like, now I answered my own question, because of course there's a movie, because there's so many sides of him that none of us know.
And there's so many sides that I lived through with him. And of course, that tour was remarkable. I mean, it's like it'll be as funny as anything. Eddie Murphy should play it. I mean, it's the funniest. It's going to be funny. It's sad, but it's also going to bring some things out that people never knew. You know, they had no clue. And then like I said, the lyrics to that song, just getting back to that song, it is so intimate and so beautiful. When you love someone, it's Christmas every day. So, you know, I just hope that he's somewhere watching, because he would be very proud. And he called me his singer, you know, and that's what it made me really happy. He says, "You're the top." And that's how I have a picture that I have on my access on my site. And he goes, "You're the top." And I was telling him, "No, you're the top," you know. And so it's, you know, it's just that kind of a relationship. And so many fun things and crazy things, you know, that happened. I don't know whether I should compare to it. Damon Wilson, Slappy White, and myself, they were on the show as well.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some days we would land in an airport. And I mean, Red always wanted me in first class with him so we could. I made him laugh, and he would just.
You are a gorgeous woman. Was he going to put you or Slappy next to him first class? Come on now.
Okay, you will see a picture of Red. I got to show you the concept of the movie, and you'll see this picture with me and the mayor. Red was born in St. Louis, and they gave him the key to the city. And I'm not shy, but I'm not exactly a person who has to be seen, or, you know, I had my 15 minutes of fame so many times, I'm not even trying to be out there. Club owners used to get mad at me because I didn't want to come out. And then he said, "No, you got to come out and mingle. You got to," you know, when I was starting out, I'm kind of private. And Red knows I'm like that, but he would pull me, you know, he says, "Come on, you got to get this picture with me and you and the mayor and all this." So I said, "Okay." And Slappy White, God, oh. He was so close to Red, and he got pissed. He said, you know, I don't want to tell you what he said. But actually, you'll hear it on the documentary.
Okay.
Some of his male friends would, you know, they were bonded a certain way, and him and I were bonded a certain way. I'm the one that would go and cook for Red and take care of him when he had surgery or needed something, you know, in between his marriages. I would help him, you know, just come and do whatever he needed, because he did the same for me. I mean, when he was working the clubs, you know, and if I'd run out of money, I'd say, "Red, I'm so broke today. I need this. I ran out. I'm waiting for some money." And he said, "Well, meet me at the cage, you know, and whatever you need." I mean, but he wasn't just that way with me. He was that way with everybody.
Right. But the guys, as an overall general theme, always seem to have like entitlement.
Yes.
You know, like
that's
like,
exactly what happened. And it was, I never felt so horrible as to how Slappy would treat me, because him and Red were like that from years and years. So, you know, he had his priority. But he insulted me in front of the mayor of, you know, and I had to take that, you know. And then I was so angry, I didn't want to fly We had 9 weeks out on the road, and I didn't want to fly with them. And Red was really upset. And so I almost missed my shows because, you know, he also made us perform in all the prisons. Wherever we were, we had to go do interviews, and then we'd play, perform for prisons because, you know, he had a soft touch for that. Coming up, he spent time, and
yeah.
He knows, you know, and I have a soft spot for it as for any underprivileged person or if they're in any kind of trouble. That's my weakness. You know, I'm going to try to help because, you know, they didn't just get there. Something caused them to get in trouble. You know, they didn't have what they needed, you know, and sometimes people get into situations, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, you know. So Red had the compassion. And that building on La Brea, he had this huge office building, which was taken away when he had the tax problem, you know. But everybody from in Hollywood would be standing downstairs when he'd come in through the back way, fly in from Vegas, you know, and go up to the office. And my office, he had my office. Everything was done in red carpet, red everything, velvet, and beautiful crystal chandeliers. And he had my office right next to him. And he found
a comfort in you and having you
yeah.
around. And you know, when you're and as a woman who's I'm friendly with artists, you know, and they love me and their wives love me.
Yes. Now you got it made when the wives love you.
Right. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. But
yes.
There's a guy thing that is like there is look at even that generation, you're looking at 60s, 70s,
the boys club.
Jealousy. Because there was a comfort. You could go do a lot of things with the boys, but the boys weren't gonna show up and cook for you and help you. And okay, you need me to go do this for you, I'll go do it. And there is a relationship between men and women who are really, really close friends.
Yes.
That supersedes a male-male relationship, which I find, you know, a lot of times, particularly in showbiz. And if you're a woman who's like you and I are, good friends with people, but we're not here for what we can get. We're here for what can we give.
Exactly. And I have to tell you, going back from walking into Motown on Grand Avenue with everybody there, from Martha, Diana, everybody, you know, what I went through with the females. And then before that, when Smokey discovered me in Washington, D.C., performing it with him, I was on the stage with him, a show at the Howard Theater, which is like the Apollo Theater. Sam Cooke was on that show. I go back, you know.
Right, way back.
Yes, I do. And I've been so blessed to still be vibrant like
yeah.
I am. But there's a reason for that. I mean, I haven't had no surgeries. But it's a spirituality in me and a survival in me that I have my purpose. And, you know, I guess until I do everything I need to do, I'm going to look the part, I'm going to feel the part, and I'm going to stay strong. But sometimes, yeah, I have my weak moments, you know. But no injections yet, no surgeries yet.
I know, me too. Original part.
Thank God.
I want to ask you a couple things. First of all, does Jamie Foxx want to play Red Foxx?
I don't know yet. I just got everything out to him today. That's what got me behind, because I had to critique everything and prepare it to send to him. I just sent it to him and given him first shot. But I also have some other major people that had been waiting, but I won't do anything until Jamie says.
See how you are? I love that about you.
Yes.
Yes. You yes. remember.
Yes. He has first dibs. So he just got it today. I sent it to New York, and so we shall see. By the time we talk again, I'll uh-huh. be able to tell you. But I would hope that he would want to play Red. I don't know, at some stage, you know, because yeah. he could.
Yeah, I think he would probably want to at some stage.
He might, because, you know, again, when you hear, I'm going to send you his piece of him talking about Red. I mean,
oh,
he,
I would love
absolutely,
that.
You know, he said he was his idol. You know, and that's why his name is Jamie Foxx.
Right. So what are we going to do next? The next thing, well, when you come back, I think what we need to do is we got to find out what Jamie Foxx said.
Okay.
And then we have to get into the Linda Griner. We got to go back and let people know the whole story behind it so that then
it
we
is
can.
A lot.
Okay. Okay. So give them your website so right now they can schmagoogle and go look at you.
Yeah, they can get a lot of information, you know, update on the photo gallery. They get to see me with all the majors and, you know, Red Fox, not with this Red, but. You know, everybody that yeah. I worked with and, you know, from Bob Hope, you know, to Sinatra, that's a whole nother world I had to be faced with. There's pictures of me with behind, with not with Frank, but at his dinner parties with the ice made with his hat. And there's all kinds of things that bring you into focus with what era I was in.
Right.
'Cause again, I started... I hit the stage at about 15. So, you know,
yeah.
and I was blessed because the man that discovered me really was an Italian man who owned a club, Washington, D.C., where I'm born and raised. He said, I have to groom you. And he's the one that started grooming me and got me ready for Berry Gordy. So when Smokey saw me, and you'll see that on the clip, you know, my stuff came out before Diana. But there were things that happened that I couldn't cope with. Now, should I tell all the story? I can't.
No, I think.
I can't tell everything because I'll give the movie away.
That's the perfect place to leave it. Perfect. All right? You go do your research on Linda Griner. We'll have her back. It's Linda Griner, Griner, music.com. And get ready for the next episode.
For more backstage stories with Connie Breeze, subscribe to the Old School 105.7 podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Store. Find past episodes online at oldschool1057.com.